On the Strip, and I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer at the Las Vegas Sun, here to get you caught up on all the news and fun this week from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. We've got a brand new show opening this week at the Palazzo from the makers of the rowdy, hilarious, and occasionally obscene Absinthe and Opium comes Atomic Saloon Show. It just received rave reviews at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and it makes its Las Vegas debut on September 8th. Joining me today to talk about that is Las Vegas Weekly senior editor Jeff Carter. How you doing, Jeff?
Hey, good to be here.
It's been a while since you've been on the Sun on the Strip. Welcome back.
Pleasure.
Before we get to that fun stuff, I have to mention MGM Resort's announcement this week regarding the site of the 1 October tragedy, formerly the Las Vegas Festival Grounds. So by the time you're listening to this podcast, you've certainly read about this already, but in case you missed it, MGM announced that it's planning to eventually build a community and athletic center on the north end of the Strip property, which will be home to sporting events and community gatherings. The statement reads, "We hope one day it will host high school basketball tournaments, indoor soccer for kids, and provide a place for the Aces to practice and engage with the community to inspire the next generation of female athletes. It was important to us that the long-term use of the property include the community in some way. We also plan to create a space on the property to remember the victims of the tragedy," unquote. So until that project gets going, the site is going to be used for parking, especially during events at Allegiant Stadium. Of course, opening next fall for Raiders and UNLV football. So I don't think this is a huge surprise to anyone, especially the parking lot short-term solution. But the long-term part, I think, makes a lot of sense considering how heavily MGM is invested in sports and specifically in basketball. And, I mean, they had to do something with the site eventually. It's prime real estate on the Strip, and they weren't going to build a casino or a hotel. So
no, but I
this seems
like,
pretty reasonable.
I do like the community element. That's a good thing.
Yes, yes. I'm sure there'll be a lot of we'll see if they'll kind of get public opinion about what that memorial part should look like. That's always kind of a messy process. So good luck on that. Hopefully it runs as smoothly as possible.
Come back to that one.
Yeah. I want to run up to the north end of the Strip real quick for a couple more newsy items. So the current issue of Las Vegas Weekly, which is the fall arts guide, and it's chock full of info everybody needs to see. There's a piece in there about the many music festivals coming to Vegas this season. And one of three new events planned for the Las Vegas Festival Grounds, which is right at the Strip and Sahara and also owned by MGM Resorts, has been canceled. On Labor Day, promoters of the Metarama Gaming and Music Festival made it official. This thing is not happening. It was set for October 19th and 20th. It had some pretty big name acts like Snoop Dogg and Logic and EDM stars like Marshmello and Alan Walker were attached, as well as a bunch of celebrities and stars from the gaming and streaming and esports worlds. There were these different tournaments and competitions planned, so it was something, I guess, something of a hybrid festival. One of the cool features was that some of those musical artists were going to compete against pro gamers and amateurs in like Fortnite and League of Legends and other games. The Metarama producers were C3 Presents, which does Lollapalooza and the Austin City Limits Festival, and the locally based esports Hospitality Concepts. No real reason was given for the cancellation, but there is information about refunds at MetaramaFestival.com. It would be safe, as it always is, it would be safe to assume that not enough tickets were being sold to continue with this thing.
Now, if people want to watch Imagine Dragons play through Fortnite, I guess.
Right.
But I think it's a solid idea. I think it'll come back around. I just don't think we're ready.
Yeah, I agree. I think that this cancellation, there's going to be like a knee-jerk reaction from people who like to claim that, you know, the bigger issue is esports in Vegas, whether that's a good fit or not. People that say esports is not going to work in Las Vegas. But I don't think that's – I think that's kind of playing up stereotypes.
Yeah.
Right? It's really easy to say that this community is mostly younger men who play video games all day and they don't want to spend money on fancy hotel rooms or to go eat at fancy restaurants because they just eat fast food all the time and they don't party like other young people, so they're not interested in spending money at clubs in Las Vegas. But that's oversimplification.
I feel like we're still trying to get a grip on what that generation wants and trying to find a way to market to them.
Totally. I mean, it's a billion-dollar industry this year, allegedly, and that's why Vegas and everybody else is trying to connect with these people, these gamers.
We've got how many? We've got several esports arenas now and several new game arcades, several new bar arcades.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's the actual arena, esports arena at Luxor that used to be a nightclub. And then there's several similar but smaller facilities in different casinos up and down the street.
What, a downtown Grand, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Seth Shore, who was one of the people behind Downtown Grand, is also one of the people behind Esports Hospitality Concept. So he was involved in this event in some capacity. I think this festival thing is maybe it's ahead of its time, or maybe it's just not the right event for the Strip, but I think we're going to see a lot more gaming and esports stuff in Vegas, and they're going to keep attempting different innovations that are probably something's going to connect at some point.
I still have my Super Nintendo if anybody wants to make me an offer. I've got several cartridges.
Meanwhile, just across the street, SLS officially changed its name to Sahara Las Vegas just after I recorded last week's episode of The Sun on the Strip, so they're moving faster than I can keep up with. Some of the other changes that I did not mention last week, the Philippe Starck statue at the front entrance has been removed. Mm. Some people were happy to see that go. I won't mention names. The construction of the hotel lobby should be finished sometime this fall. The main resort pool is going to close in the fall for a major renovation that's going to include the addition of a two-story nightclub, lounge, and theatrical space, which is exciting. And then a couple of restaurant things. The former Umami Burger is now known as Beers and Bets. And the recently closed Clio restaurant is now Bella Bistro. Renovations at the Sahara continue into 2020. Jeff, are you into this renovation? Well, first of all, did you like the name change going back to the old school?
I love the name change. I accept that, this town is about turnover. It's about change. But I am going to miss Umami Burger and Clio like crazy. Mm-hmm. Two great spots. Well, I still miss Griddle Cafe from the first iteration.
I never made it to that place before. It didn't last long.
And you drive past these, the originals in L.A., and they've got lines around the block. I'm puzzled that they didn't make it here.
Mm-hmm. Bazaar Meat is the original restaurant that is still operating. They don't want to let that one go.
You don't let go of Jose.
No. Yeah, I'm really anxious to go see the show there, Blanc de Blanc. I haven't had a chance to check it out yet, but it seems interesting, and I think it's probably a pivotal thing. If that show can do well there, I think that will bring some new traffic and different audience into that resort.
That's in the Foundry space, right?
Right.
Glad you're using that showroom.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of shows, let's get into it. Atomic Saloon Show, new from Spiegelworld, opening on Sunday. It's going to be playing nightly except Wednesdays. Now, they say it's at the Venetian in the Grand Canal Shops, but it's actually on the Palazzo side. I don't know who decides which things are in Venetian and which are in Palazzo.
I get lost every single time I go in there.
It's also unclear if the room is being called the Kraken Music Hall or the Atomic Saloon. I'm sure it's going to eventually just be called the Atomic Saloon. But it used to be the ACT nightclub, and if you're hunting for it, it's on the second floor of the Grand Canal Shops, above that big waterfall courtyard thing that kind of separates Venetian from Palazzo. It's also a smaller, the show's in a smaller room than either of Spiegelworld's other two shows. I think it maxes out at about 250 seats. But it sounds like that is going to work to the advantage of the show because they really want it to feel like you just wandered into this old-timey saloon and discovered this amazing show. This show has a Western theme. It's been described as Blazing Saddles meets America's Got Talent. What do you think of what you've seen so far of Atomic Saloon show.
It's another hit. These guys got their formula is just so perfect. With Weekly, we named Absinthe the top production show, top Vegas production show of all time.
Well, yeah, like ever.
Yeah, and we stand by that. It's a perfect night in Vegas. And the way these guys, you know, integrate the audience with what they're doing in a smaller space, it's only going to be better. I'm really looking forward to this.
Mm-hmm. When Absinthe opened at Caesar's Palace, it was so different, so fresh, really kicked a big dent in the show landscape on the Strip. A lot of different shows have tried to imitate parts of it or all of it. And then Opium came to the Cosmopolitan last spring, I believe. Had some similarities to Absinthe, I think, but it's more comedy focused and yeah. It's got that kitschy science fiction theme that kind of sets it apart. Atomic Saloon Show is supposed to be even more different from those two, according to the company and the director, Cal McChrystal, who I got to speak with for Story in Las Vegas Weekly. I think just having a different person as the director and co-creator is also going to change it quite a bit from the shows we know, right? Yeah.
Give it its own individual personality. Every one of these shows that, you know, the two shows I've seen so far, they are not quite what you expect. They, they turn halfway through into something weirder and more wonderful. I expect the same from this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He told me that there's going to be maybe a little bit more of a storyline to this one that connects the characters, which would be more Opium than Absinthe probably. But
yeah.
Again, I agree with you. I think that just when you think you know what you're going to get from Spiegelworld, they go in an entirely different direction. So there's really no telling.
Another thing I like about them, especially in this day and age, is they're, like Mel Brooks, they're equal opportunity offenders.
Mm-hmm.
They really go after folks in the audience, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I went on last week. I went down to Wynn, and I was a guest on this national travel show. And the host was talking about. He started by talking about this new show, and he started by I went to a show, and I'd never seen it before, and it was everybody told me it was going to be completely obscene, and I was going to be very offended. And then I went, and it was completely obscene, and I was very offended, and I also laughed the entire way through. And I'm like, I know what you're talking about. Talking about Absinthe, we don't have to play the guessing game, you know. But Absinthe, I feel like, is dirtier every time that I see it. It's like they keep raising the bar.
Keep pushing it.
So we'll see if Atomic Saloon Show further elevates that aspect of these shows.
I'm just thrilled to see that space in use again. That's a great showroom.
I've never been in that room before. Did you go in there for a different event or show? Or
I caught the latter days of the act.
Okay.
That's its own weird, mm-hmm. unexplainable thing.
Well, apparently the room inspired the show quite a bit with Atomic Saloon Show. Like, they just got these kind of Western-y vibes in there. And that makes me think that hopefully they didn't have to do too much of a build-out to suit their needs. But also that they didn't come in with a set idea for exactly what we're going to do, and they're working with what they're given, which is a good strategy for a new show in Vegas.
I definitely saw some of that when they were taking over the old Rose Rabbit Live space, mm-hmm. at Cosmopolitan for Opium. The platforms that rise and fall, they put them to an entirely different use than Vegas Nocturne did.
Mm-hmm.
They just they treat each room like a playground, and they figure out what they can squeeze out of it.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I find fascinating about Spiegelworld is that they like to poke a little fun or poke a lot of fun at Cirque du Soleil. They do it in their shows. Ross Mollison will sometimes take jabs at Cirque in interviews just to kind of take the reverence out of it, you know, and lighten things up. But in spite of that, Spiegelworld is sort of following the Cirque playbook a little bit. Yeah. I mean, this is going to be their third show running all at the same time on the Strip. And they've been developing what could be a fourth in the disco-themed We Are Here. They're kind of building a Cirque-like dynasty in their own way.
Yeah, but they're doing it in tiny rooms.
And tents. A Jeff, thanks for talking Spiegel World with me. Are you gonna go? Are you gonna go see it very soon?
Oh yeah, absolutely, and probably two or three times because the shows change.
Well, hopefully we can find this room. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
The Coliseum at Caesar's Palace reopens this weekend after a few months of renovation. Keith Urban's Graffiti U World Tour is coming through for two concerts, Friday and Saturday night. This show would normally be at a bigger venue like MGM Grand Garden Arena, for example, but instead it's kicking off a new era of entertainment at the 4,400-seat Coliseum, and this will be the first time we'll get to see that GA standing room only format in front of the stage. I'm going to miss these shows this weekend, but I will check out the revamped Coliseum this week before the shows and get the chance to dig into those renovations. And you'll have to come back next week because Cindy Moon Reed from Las Vegas Weekly is going to see Keith Urban and get a feel for the new Coliseum in action. And she'll be joining me for the next episode of The Sun on the Strip. Matt Goss has extended his run at One Oak at the Mirage. He recently celebrated a decade as a Vegas headliner, and he's going to continue his Sunday night shows with his band and the Dirty Virgin Showgirls now through November 24th. He plays at 8 p.m. and tickets start at $25. This weekend, September 5th through 8th, will be the first weekend for the Big Blues Bender in its new home at the Hard Rock Hotel. The Bender has been downtown at the Plaza in recent years, and now it's moving on up to the east side, I guess, just east of the Strip at the Hard Rock. There will be nonstop music at the Joint, at Vinyl, on the Casino stage, and out by the pool all 4 days. Robert Cray, Little Steven, Government Mule, Ronnie Earl, Ruthie Foster, and Mike Zito are among the many blues and rock acts. Get your info at bigbluesbender.com. O'Shea's is celebrating its 30th anniversary on the Strip this month. For those who might not remember, before it was an Irish pub-themed casino and bar inside the Link and opening up onto the Link Promenade, O'Shea's was a very cheap place to drink on the Las Vegas Strip, a separate casino that closed in 2012 after 23 years in business. It was so popular that the new Link absorbed it, and it's celebrating all month long with live music, DJs, drink specials like $3 shots of JMO or Murphy's Irish Stouts, beer pong tournaments, and much more. On September 28th, the 30th birthday grand finale bash starts at 4 p.m. with more live entertainment, probably some celebrity guests. MGM Grand has a new Italian restaurant filling in where Fiamma used to be. It's called Ombre. It just opened last week. The menu focuses on dishes from different regions of Italy and has a speakeasy inside called Privata. It's open for dinner nightly at 5 p.m. And Andrea's has closed at Encore, originally opened under the dubious category of vibe dining and named for Steve Wynn's wife. Andrea's evolved into less of a clubby place to eat, ended up being a pretty dynamic Asian fusion restaurant. That space located right next to Encore Beach Club is going to become a Mexican restaurant from the team behind the acclaimed Cosme in New York City, opening in early 2020. My one big show this week is easy. It's Elton John at T-Mobile Arena, Friday and Saturday nights. This is his farewell Yellow Brick Road tour. So, does this mean that it's your last chance to see Elton in Las Vegas? Probably not. I bet we can get him back for a few shows here and there once this tour is over. But definitely go if you can go. I saw his residency at the Coliseum just once, and it was one of my all-time top five concerts. That is going to do it for this episode of The Sun on the Strip. Please subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts so you don't miss a single episode. Thank you so much for listening. Catch you next week.